Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. It's good to be here tonight. And by the grace of God, we're going to start something tonight, and we hope to build on it for some time. Isaiah. Sorry about that. It's our year of the Spirit. And so, as we try to wrap up the year, I'll be sharing. I think I'll need to touch this, then something else, before we call the year a wrap. I want to speak around the subject of how the Holy Spirit transforms a person from within, from inside out. So the general theme is inside out. What I'll be discussing is how the Holy Spirit transforms a believer from within. The Bible is very clear about the operations of the Spirit. So we know that there is the operation of the Spirit, that is the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Are we here together? So that when you're talking about the Spirit within, you're talking about the workings of the Holy Spirit inside of the believer. Then when you're talking about the Spirit upon, you're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit upon the believer to do spectacular things, to do extraordinary things, especially things that have to do with the manifestation of the miraculous power dimensions and all that. There is the uponness of the Spirit that enables you to do certain things, and there is the manifestation of the Spirit that has to do with the movement of the Spirit within, empowering you to live a kind of life. Are we here together? So it is the assignment of the Holy Spirit to help you to live the kind of life that God would have you live. So that without the help of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to live the God kind of life. Although you have eternal life, and you have received eternal life, there's no guarantee that you will live the character of that life. There's no guarantee. Except that you learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life from within. Then it helps you become everything God wants you to be. The reason we have so much of frustrations when it comes to people trying to live the Christian life is because they lack understanding of the workings of the Spirit within. So a good number of people understand how He works upon us and what He does, and they desire it. And sometimes it's as if the workings of the Spirit upon and the workings of the Spirit within, they are in conflict. They are not. The only thing is that believers want one and they want to live the other. And some people believe that the workings of the Spirit within is all we need so that we are able to live the kind of life God wants us to live, a holy life, a righteous life, and everything. And that's just what God needs. There's some other people believe that that's not the real thing. It is about the manifestation of the power of God. What is Christianity for? It's about the power of God. But you see, Christianity is not just about the power of God. Christianity is about living out the life of God. Are we here together? And if you do not understand the dimensions of the Spirit within, It becomes very difficult for you to live. So you see people struggle with all manner of things. The reason people are still struggling with one thing or the other in their lives is because they have not yielded to the spirit within. They have not yielded to the spirit within. And if you don't yield to the spirit within, there's little to what you can do in this Christian faith. God will desire to do with you certain things, but he will not be able to because you are not submitting to him. And the frustration begins to come in. You feel frustrated. You feel like, what's this Christianity stuff all about? It's so hard to be a Christian. I don't know why I'm trying, but I'm not attaining. It's just because you're not yielding. So I want to teach us a few things that will help us in this area so that we can be better. So somehow I had a conversation with I had a counseling session, so today's afternoon. So we had a conversation. I don't know if they should be in church or something, but it was just a conversation. You know, during the conversation, one of them mentioned how that she's been struggling in her spiritual journey, that I'm struggling with my spiritual life. I'm tired. I don't feel like I'm growing spiritually. So when she said that, I wanted to know from her what it means. What do you mean by you're not growing spiritually? What are the things you expect to see in your life that you're not seeing? What are the things that trouble you? Because it's not like you're living in sin. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm not living in sin. But I'm not growing spiritually. So I wanted to know the expectation. So obviously, I think that the expectation she had, she's been trusting God for the gifts of the Spirit, the ability to speak in tongues, and she's not been speaking in tongues. So she believes that she's not growing. That those who are speaking in tongues have gone ahead of her. And maybe she trusts God for some other things in her life, like I want the move of God and the power of God and all that. So it's like, since I have not received the ability to speak with other tongues, or I have not started speaking with other tongues, that means I cannot progress to other things. I'll be stunned. I'll remain here all my life. But in order to encourage her, I made her understand that spiritual maturity is not dependent on the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, word of knowledge, working of miracles, healing, faith, and all that. Spiritual maturity is dependent on your ability to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and all that. So you see that there are certain people who may not be speaking with other tongues yet. And like Paul said, I would that you all speak in tongues, because I do it more than all of you. That's what he said. And that sounded, you know, sounds braggadocious, but that's the truth. Paul is saying, I speak in tongues than all of you. In other words, there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. There's nothing wrong with the ability to, you know, blast in the Holy Ghost, heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. But if you remember, the Bible says something in 1 Corinthians 13 when talking about love. It says, if I have the faith to move mountains, if I have the ability to speak with other tongues, to lay hands on the sick, to do all that and all that, and I have not love, he said, it profits me nothing. In other words, spiritual growth is not measured by how you speak in tongues. It's not measured by how you lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's not measured by how you say, I can see, I see. Prophetic gifts. Spiritual growth and maturity is dependent on your ability to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow the fruits of the Spirit. F-R-U-I-T. Fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. So, if we are not seeing the fruits of the Spirit manifest in your life, even if you are the leader, it makes no difference. Somebody who's seated in the church and has better manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is more mature than you are. If you like blasting the Holy Ghost, like see revelations. If you like make blind eyes see. Because the gift of the Spirit is a gift of grace. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that will be cultivated. It is harder. You have to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Some of us who have seen the movie X-Men and all the rest of those, I learn a lot whenever I see those movies. X-Men, all the series, different parts here and there. You see that this professor has in his company a group of people, different people, you know, with different gifts. Cyclops, you have Storm, you have Wolverine. I like Wolverine, that's my favorite guy. Who else? Nightcrawler, And there's this particular girl that changed like a chameleon or something. Now, all these gifts, they were born with gifts. They realized that growing up we have certain gifts. But they do not know how to harness their gifts. They couldn't do much with their gifts. Wolverine will live a very angry and bitter life. If he goes out, he'll be very dangerous and he can kill everybody, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. Except that Professor has to help them harness their gifts. So the Bible says that he gave gifts to men. What Professor does in X-Men is what the pastors do. So that all the people who come to church are gifted by God in different ways. Every single person here represents a dimension of gift that God has given. Then he empowers the pastor, the prophet, apostle, teachers, and evangelists to work, you know, in agreement to help these people harness their gifts for the work of the ministry. But apart from their gifts, the reason why they come together into that house is so that their character will be prone. So you see, they have to quarrel sometimes. They have issues. Someone wants to go that way. And it's like, calm down. So he's teaching them how to use their gifts. The other guy, the one that uses the eye, is Cyclops or something. So he has to teach him how to use his eye to get precision. That's not how to fire. You're just going to scatter everything. If you open his eye, everywhere will scatter. But with a glass that was designed for him, he's able to put precision and he can even cut through a wall with the eyes. Then Wolverine, you can't continue the way you are. You're such a wild guy. You scatter everywhere. Calm down. You need to know when to react and when not to react. So Wolverine needs self-control. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Then you see, for each of them, each of those guys, he needs a little, maybe Wolverine needs a little bit of meekness too. Because he's very proud. Then there's some of them that have inferiority complex, like the other one that hides, doesn't like to be seen, she's scared. You understand? That one now will need a little bit of helping her understand that she needs, you know, to understand her identity, that she's unique the way she is. That's what we do in church. Different different people with different beliefs about themselves and all that. And God empowers the preacher to be able to teach with precision in such a way that you begin to see yourself in a better light. You begin to use that gossip to prophesy. You begin to see that the mouth that lies can actually be used to cure and heal and help. You begin to see that many of the gifts that we have, the writing gift that you used to write love letter to keep people's hearts, can be used to write tracts to save souls. So, the Spirit of God wants to walk within so that He can change our lives and transform our character. The transformation of your character is most important to God. So God is more interested in the weight of your character than in the strength of your charisma. You can be very charismatic. You can have all power to do this, but it doesn't make much sense to God because He gave it to you as a gift. What matters to God is the seed planted in your life that grows to become the fruit of the Spirit that we see. That way you can now look like Christ in character. This one you are manifesting Christ in power. The other one you are looking like Christ in character. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? It is the Holy Spirit that does the workings. So it is the Holy Spirit that does the workings. Praise God. So I'm going to dive into the teachings left and right. I want you to just pay attention and I will help us come through. So you can operate in the gifts and still lack maturity. But when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, when you love genuinely, you can forgive easily. You can walk in peace and remain patient even under pressure. Then we say you are beginning to mature in the things of God. So maturity is not I see. Maturity is not I hear. Maturity is not necessarily I heal, I deliver. Beautiful. That's very good. God wants us to do that. Bible says it clearly that in my name they shall cast out devils, they lay hands on the sick and they recover. All those good. But maturity in this kingdom has to do with your ability to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And the person who helps you to get that done is who? That is why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So spiritual growth is not measured by how often you prophesy or accurately you discern. Discernment is good. It is seen in how you respond when you are offended. Please follow me. I want to help us with the basics of our faith so that we will not be misrepresenting Christ. Because so many believers misrepresent Christ a whole lot. A whole lot. The misrepresentation is very heavy. So that somebody's finished speaking into rakateleko sekete. And the same rakata no go better for you. Out of this same mouth, the Bible says, my brothers, it ought not to be so. We are not supposed to get clean water and dirty water from the same source. Are we here together? The person comes and they lift up holy hands or they stand and do one thing or the other in church. And you know, maybe pray, lead prayers. And by the time they get home, a lady shows up. Everything gone. And God is looking at them and saying, these ones are babes. They are yet babes. Because they do not have the capacity to hold, the ability to stand. What makes you mature is that you are able to stand against certain things. You are able to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because that's how it works. So let me build up on some things, then I'll start discussing the fruits of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit comes by walking in the Spirit. By the Spirit who indwells us. And by our lining up our desires. Please take note of what I'm saying here. You are supposed to line up your desires. The Bible says set your affection on the things above. Where your heart is, where your affection is, you will always tend towards that direction. If your affection and your heart is in the flesh, you will go to the direction of the flesh. If your affection and your heart is in the Spirit, you go to the direction of the Spirit. I usually say it over and again, 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 that the reason many people tend to manifest the tendencies of the flesh is because their affection, there is something you are still enjoying in the flesh. That flesh knows. That's why flesh can pull you. And whenever you yield to the flesh, you become a slave to the flesh. When you yield to the Spirit, you become a slave to the what? The Spirit. And the Bible says, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, that person's servant you are. Either to the flesh and to destruction or to the Spirit and everlasting life. Am I communicating? So that some of the big problems people have in their homes, in their families, in their marriage, you don't... When you want to marry, you are not supposed to look to marry. There's a cord somewhere that's wrong. Please sort it out and let's go. Sorry about that again. I'm not sure of how many other stories I'll say, but for now, I'm sorry. So, I was saying something. Yeah. So in marriage, in relations, I talk about marriage a lot, Dana. It's a calling. Even if I don't want to, I'll still have to. That's why you are safe anyway. So the reason I said the problems people carry into their marriage is not a marriage problem. So you want to get married, but you want to marry a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, firebrand brother. That's what you said. You missed it. You're not supposed to marry a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, firebrand brother without checking a self-controlled, a meek, a patient, a humble brother. What you should be looking for is not the ziki-ziki-ziki. It's supposed to be the character within. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So that many times people spoke in tongues and preach as pastors and they beat their wives at home. Pastors. Pastors. Evangelists. Prophets. Powerful singers and minstrels that can touch heaven. But they can still touch a woman. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The ladies are excited because I've been talking about man. It will get to your turn. Spirit feel raku sekete race. But if she finish you with mouth, you will wish the ground will open, swallow, and just finish you. Because she has not learned how to tame the flesh. So you see, most of the problems we have, they are not problems of people who are not born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking. So as soon as a brother starts going, Raka sokete, ebanamana, he carry Bible for evangelism, as he repents, does everything. Somebody says, Kai, that is a husband material. 30 yards. Those are not the things to look out for when you want to get a partner. Those are not the things to look out for when you want to get into business with Christians. Those are not the things to look out for when you are looking for friends in the church. Part of the things to look out for beyond that, look behind to see if they are yielded to the Spirit and manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. That will save you. Am I communicating? So, and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says that the scripture that best explains everything is Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a full grasp of the comparison between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Very powerful, very powerful scripture. Galatians chapter 5. Are you there? The fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, let's look at from verse 15 thereabouts. Is it 15? Go to 15. Let's see. Go down. Is that the next? I say then. I love this. Everybody, let's read together. I want to go now. Please, I want you to follow the scripture in context so that we can get it. So Paul is saying, this is what I'm trying to explain to you people now. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, there is a lane called Spirit Lane. And there is a lane called flesh lane. So Paul is saying that if you walk in spirit lane, you will not have business with those in the flesh lane. But if you are in the spirit lane and your affection is set on the flesh lane, you eventually move into that lane. So you are born again, but your affection is here. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The person on that side, his affection is never here. That's the funny thing. Unbelievers are not thinking of this place. It's only believers that are thinking of the other lane. So there will be overcrowding there. So we have less crowd here. We have too many crowd there. The unbelievers have accepted the fact that they serve Satan and they're just doing their things and they're excited and they're giving Satan their highest worship, their highest devotion in body, in spirit, and in soul. But this other person has appeared here and is supposed to be walking in the spirit lane, but he's still yielded because every time he's always looking at those in the flesh lane. Ah, they went out tonight, they're enjoying. Hey, look at what they bought for the person. Ah, look at what the person has. Hey, look at that. So your affection, the Bible says you should not set your affection. It says set your affection on things that are where? Above.
But each time your affection, the reason you will do some of the things that I will mention, anybody will do it, is because the affection is not on the spirit lane. The affection is on the flesh lane. A rail, a train that refuses to follow its track will derail, true or false. And there'll be a problem. That's what happens to believers. As soon as your attention moves from the beautiful things that you have here, and your attention begins to move to the enticing things that eventually destroy here, you are heading for destruction. So the Bible says that if I walk in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. Then go ahead, verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against what? And these are to one, so that you do not do the things you... So people say, sometimes I really want to serve God, I really wish to... Yes, you wish, but you cannot do. Why? Because your affections are in the place that it's not supposed to be. If your affection is in the spirit track, you will fulfill the desires of the spirit. That means, when we say affection, that means your love, your desire, what you crave for, what you want. I want fellowship. I want intimacy. I want to connect more with God. I want to enjoy His presence. That's where my heart is. But this other one is saying, I just want to enjoy life. Oh, I don't know. This Christianity is looking hard. Is it that God doesn't want us to enjoy ourselves? I'll just do small here. I'll be in and out. It doesn't work like that. You'll not be able to achieve much. Are we here together? So the Bible says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You will get something today. Go ahead now. Go ahead. But if you are led, in other words, this part that we are on, somebody is driving. So you are supposed to be led. To be led is like somebody holding your hand and say, follow me. Is that not? So that if you are led, the Spirit of God is here, and you allow Him to hold your hand, so that your affections are connected to the things that He is connected with, that is, the things that He desires. He desires you to live a life of joy, peace, self-control, and your whole heart is in that. The Bible says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, why did He say under the law here? Because those people who were under the law, the Jews then, they were led, they had to follow rules and regulations. And all the rules and regulations that they had to follow, they were defaulting. They couldn't make it work. So God is saying now that the reason they could not is because they did not have the leading of the Spirit. That's why He said that, therefore now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So that what the law could not do because it was weak, God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of God would be revealed in us. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So that, look at it now. If you are under, if you are following the Spirit, you don't need rules and regulations. That's what He's saying. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So all the laws that are written in the ordinances for the Jewish people, if you yield to the Spirit, why do we give you law? A person who has, who is led by the Spirit is following the law of God. And the law of God is what? Love. That's why we're going there. The greatest commandment. The highest of all. Is that not why we're here? So, the reason to them, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that. It's because every time they walk out of love, they do those things. But if they are walking in love, you will know that it is wrong to covet your neighbor's property. If you are walking in love, you will know that why should you go and kill? If you are walking in love, you should know all those things are things that love will cover. So, Jesus helped us to sum the whole commandment as what? One. And Paul is trying to build on that here. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Please just follow me. Listen. Then let's go ahead now. Verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh, they are evident. That means they are not hidden. The things that the flesh produce. When you see a person that is on this lane, the kind of life they live is clear. That's what he's saying. You cannot be here and live that life and tell us that you are fully here. You are here, but your affection and your desires are there. And God is saying, the way I see you is that you have submitted to this particular place. You are no longer here. Look at it. Now the works of the flesh are evident. What are the works of the flesh? What do they do on this lane? What are the things they do here? What do they manifest? What the life of the people here? Number one, it says what? It says what? Number two is what? Number three is what? Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. 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 Outburst of wrath. Uh-huh. Selfish ambitions. Uh-huh. Dissensions. Uh-huh. Heresies. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Rivalries. And the likes of which I tell you before. And that means there are some that I have told you before too. So we can always compile the list of others and add to this one. Are we here together? Paul is saying those that you see do all these things, they are walking in the flesh. They are led by their flesh. That means they are not allowing the Holy Spirit walk within. They are not. The Holy Spirit doesn't have the ability to control them, because if he's controlling them, his control is from inside out. But many people want the control upon. Say, you know, somebody wants to break addiction and say, Pastor, if something can just come upon me like this. No, it's inside. What needs to change is where? Inside. And if the internal working doesn't change, we will not see anything on the outside. Whatever you are first on the inside before outside. Nothing happens on the outside that has not first gained ground on the inside. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what? Good things. That's what the Bible says. So he says, these are the things you are going to see in the life of all those people. I say, just as I told you in time past, all the things I've shared. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you believe the Bible, I want to beg you, just leave those that don't believe the Bible. Leave churchgoers and follow Christians. Churchgoers can lead you to hell. That means they go to church. Some of them, somebody can accompany somebody to church today, and it's because they say, just follow me so that you will see me off. I'm going to church, see me off, so that the pastor will close by past 8. And I don't want these guys to take my phone, see me off. That's the person you want to marry, see me off. So by the time you are trying to enter heaven, they will say, see me off. You are about to make a quality decision that will guide your life right. But the person cannot join you to make a good decision. They will always do what? See me off. You want to take along people that cannot partner with you. Serving God on the face of the earth is sweeter and better when two do it well. Two are better than one. Better off. That's why it is hard for many people to be solid Christians, some women, if the husband is not involved. It is hard for a man if the wife is not involved. But if two of them are together, a young guy or a young girl says, I want to live a Christian life, but the person you are following is not, your Christian, it will be hard. You will even be making mockery of your. But if two of you have the same understanding and your values align and where you're going to, it's exactly the same. It is difficult, because as soon as the person sees that you're about to enter a ditch, they will pull you out of the ditch. But if it's somebody who knows that the ditch you're about to enter is going to be fun for him, as you're about to enter the ditch, he will not just pull you. He will first jump into the ditch and drag you into the ditch and say, yeah, welcome. Because that's where they are going to. That's where their affection is. That's where their desire is. I was sharing with my wife the other day, we were discussing something, and I said that, I don't know if you remember those days when some people discover that maybe they have messed up with their friends and they deflower them. They'll find a way to walk their own friend through for another person that will do the same thing for her. Make two of us did the same level. It happens a lot then. I don't know about it now. But then it's like the common thing that, how do I do so? I will set up my own friend too, you know, and prepare you as lamb for the slaughter. We arrange you. They will now organize it. And you know that's how wicked people behave. Are we here together? Some people regret today. The biggest regret of their life is the people they connected with. Or they connected to, rather. And I pray for us that God will help us not to connect to people who are terrible. And rather, he will give us wisdom to convert them. In the name of Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit, they're not opposing each other. I said it already. Now, Paul speaking here, he will now try to contrast both of them. The next verse now. Let's look at the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit, that means those on this lane, these are the kind of things that you will see them do. This is the kind of life you see them live. What kind of life? love, joy, peace,
long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That means for the people living like this, you don't need to put them under any law. They are okay.
The people living, go to the Passion's translation and see how he puts it, 22, from 22. TBT. From 22, please. Galatians 5, 22. TBT. So that you can understand what he's saying here. The fruit of the Spirit is not like different fruits, like orange, banana, pineapple, mango, blah, blah, blah. It is one fruit divided into nine places. And in the nine, one is the foundation. So it is actually saying, look at it now. It says, but the fruits produced by the Holy Spirit within you is what? Divine love in all its varied expressions. The love that expresses itself as what? Joy that overflows. The love that expresses itself as what? Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. Strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for that they are meant to be what? Limitless. You can't put any law ahead when people are living like this. If they are living like this, they are fine. They are limitless. They live a glorious life. They live a beautiful life. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? So it's like a watermelon ball and you slash it into, the real thing is watermelon. Are we here? Or like a banana bunch that has nine bananas. Nine. You understand what I'm saying? We understand together. So when you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, there are some things that you must have to consider. It takes walking in the Spirit to live this kind of life. That means the person has agreed that that spirit lane is where I am walking. So everything you see me do will be this. If I walk in the flesh lane, everything you see me do will be the other one. Are we here together? When you see a woman walking in the flesh lane, the way she treats her children, it will show. The way she treats her husband, it will show. The way she treats her colleagues, it will show. The way she relates to herself, it will show. Because the person walking in the flesh, they usually only respond to happiness. They don't respond to joy. Something must happen to make them get excited. But joy is in the midst of chaos. I've got joy. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So today I want to take time to build on the first one, which is love, and hope that we will continue on the others. Are we here together? Is anybody really ready? Yes. So if you really want to build the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing you must understand is that the way the Holy Spirit helps you to yield to God, number one, is to obey the word of God. Number two is to cultivate an attitude of prayer. And number three is to be willing to, the first one is what? The word of God, is that not? That is studying the word of God, seeing the principles of God, knowing what God says to do and not to do. Then number two is praying consistently. Then number three will be to do what you have seen in the word of God. That's obedience. Take note of these three. If you want to walk in the Spirit, the first thing is that you must know the word of God. Because the Spirit of God and the word of God, they cannot be separated. The next thing is that you must consistently pray. Prayer helps you build strength and the ability to do what the word of God says to do. Prayer helps you build the strength and the ability to yield to the Spirit. Because when you are praying, the Bible says something about praying in the Holy Ghost, that we do not know what we ought to pray the way we ought to, but the Spirit himself helps our what? Weaknesses. So we have weaknesses. The Spirit helps our weaknesses so that we are able to do the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Am I communicating? Just follow me. We're going to get to the height of my message tonight. So, the three of them, these three things you must pay attention to. And if you pay attention to these three things, you are sure that you have started your journey to bearing fruit. Because the next thing will now be, how do I obey? That obedience part, what must I do? People always say things that, love, fruit of the spirit is love. Because growing up for me in church, whenever they talk about the fruit of the spirit, every time they talk about it, it usually sounds strange to me because they just say love. But I don't know what love is until somebody begins to explain how to express love. What you must do that shows love. Are we here together? So as Christians, there are certain things we do that show that we do not love. We are just being selfish. We are just living our lives. Do you know that if God says to do A and you are doing B, you don't love God that way? That's what the word of God says. The Bible says it clearly. It said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping my commandments, then you do not love me. And what is my commandment? Love. Are we here together? That's my commandment. My commandment is love. So if you love me, you will do what? Love. And to say that somebody is growing in love means that they are growing in God, because God is love. So when a person is not growing in love, they are not growing in God. No matter how the tongue, kate kate kakatona, the toner will soon finish. No more printer. That's just for fun. No matter what they do, it does not make any difference, because they are not walking in love. How many of us really want to walk in love? How many of us really desire that you want to walk in love? If I show you what it means to walk in love, would you want to apply it to your life? Are you sure? Yes. So we're going to look at some of the things and what it means to walk in love, the fruit of the Spirit. So the first one is love. And love here is agape. Somebody say agape. Yes. A caring for and seeking the highest good for another person. So we have started now. Love. Love means to care for and seek the highest good for another person. And whenever you're doing this without the motive of any personal gain. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 13 shows us love. 1 Corinthians, Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 also shows us. Can you put on the screen so that I can explain a few things? 1 Corinthians 13 shows us love. But those who are... 1 Corinthians, which one are you showing us now? 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Is anybody here? Speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am becoming what? A sounding bars and what? A kindling cymbal. Go ahead, please. And though I have the gift of what? Can you see what I'm saying here now? I have the gift of what? And understand all and all. So no matter how you are dissecting scriptures and you are explaining to us epignosis of the epignoma, the word is the Hebrew word sakatola, venekeruta, noise. If you have not love, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It makes no sense that you can say all those things. But when we come down to earth, to what it has to do to really have connection with people and love them, you're just not there. And one of the things I've learned about Christianity is that no pastor can successfully thrive if he does not love the sheep. Instead of, you see, one of the things with the sheep is that if a pastor does not love the sheep, all his life is consideration of how to slaughter, how to destroy, how to exploit, how to take advantage of. But when someone loves the sheep, you are thinking of what can I give, what can I share, what can I do to ensure that it becomes its best. I want this to be the best sheepfold ever. Everything that you can do. The same way somebody tells you that I love you, I love you, I love you. And you believe that they love you, but do they really seek your good? Because everything you say you don't want to do is what they tell you to do if you love them. Show me love. So somebody says, show me love. When they ask you to show them love, what is the person asking for? Because show me love would have been show me God. Because God is love. Hey, are we here together? So when a person says, I want you to show me love. When somebody says, let's make love, you should be talking about praying. Because you are making love happen. You are making the presence of God real. Are you really getting what I'm saying here now? It shouldn't be the other way, especially when they are not born, when they are not married. It shouldn't be. That's the wrong thing to do. Because God says, I am love. So each time they say that, it is a direct opposite of the representation of God, especially when it is outside marriage or marriage outside marriage. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Person is married and doing out, or the person is not married at all. It is only the confines of marriage that has that word in its context. Outside that, it doesn't work. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? I want you to get this thing because, you see, the problem we have is that the English dictionary, many of us don't understand where things went wrong. We went to school and certain people wrote certain words and they told us the meaning of the word. Love making does not mean sex. It was the English person that changed love making to sex. Who wrote English? Who decided that that's what it means? Do you know that there is something about the world deciding what it wants a word to mean and agreeing that that is what it means? That exactly is what they did to love making. Love making should be care, genuine affection. To seek a person's good, it has nothing to do with sex itself. The only context in which sex has an expression of lovemaking is in the context of what? Marriage. Why? It is in the covenant. Outside the covenant, it's an abomination. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? It's not only that word, but there are many other words. You see the word, there are many other words. The word, what do you call it now? Patriarchy. The word patriarchy also has been redefined to mean something that is bad and is not supposed to be accepted. That means considering the mask of our patriarchs of our faith. The Bible talks about patriarchs and patriarch. But now, the dictionary meaning of the word, if you check the normal English meaning of patriarch, it sounds like something that is to be domineering and to make somebody. No, but that's not what it is. That's not what it is. The English people have chosen their words. And because we are learning from them, their words have become our words. And so it has nullified our values. I don't know if we understand what I'm saying here today. Let's move a little further and let's explore love and know what love is. It will help us because the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love in all its various expressions. Are we here together now? Yes. So love. Now, let me say that without love, the gift of the Spirit becomes very shallow and leaves us with nothing. You cannot express joy without love. You can't. Without love, there'll be no peace. Without love, you will not be able to have self-control. Without love, there'll be no meekness. It is love that breaks everything. And that's why it is important to explore this subject or this concept or this word called what? Love. Without love, our self-effort and self-righteousness will not make any sense. So, by yourself, you want to please God. Imagine you don't love God, but you are trying to do something to impress God. Do you know there are people who try to impress God, but they don't love God? Because if you love God, you don't need to impress Him. Hey, do you understand what I'm trying to say here now? You know that you are forgiven, you are loved, you are accepted. You will not be trying to do something to impress Him. I come to church, you are trying to impress God. I will sweep. When I sweep very well, they will sweep my name into the book of life. Congratulations. So what is love? The first thing the Bible says that love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. So if somebody is unkind, that means they are mean. They are not kind human beings. Does that not show you that that person does not have love? If somebody is envious, they envy other people. When other people have one thing or the other, they feel bitter at the success of other people. Do they have love? To be mature in the Christian faith is to allow the Holy Spirit work from inside of you. Because the love of God is already shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I hope you know that. So God is not asking you to do what He has not deposited already. He's just saying, I want you to turn it on. You have love inside, turn it on. I have deposited love inside of you. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Making any sense to somebody already? So you need to come to that place where you understand it. Love does not seek its own. So you see people in marriage, the husband is thinking his own, wife thinking his own. They are not thinking for each other. They don't love themselves. The other day we saw a picture of husband and wife go to court for divorce and they were wearing anko. You can imagine. And the judge, Biko, you who are very mumutious, go home. How can you wear anko and come for divorce? How do we organize? Even the judge himself warning that, or herself warning that, what are we going to do here? How do we start the divorce proceedings? We must start by pulling this your clothes. At least, when you wear different clothes, we agree that you guys are different. Not that you wear the same clothes and you're coming here and asking us to do this. I've been in court severally. One of the things that I benefited when I was in my, internship. When I went to court, I observed. I intentionally found my way and I wanted to serve in the court where they settle matrimonial causes. So I did most of my stuff there. I'll be listening and watching marriage. Sometimes you see the judge advising them. I don't think you people know your problem. By the time some of them leave, they are ashamed of themselves. How did we get here? What brought us here? What's the stuff causing your problem? You just hear some very flimsy things, things that don't make any sense, things that are just useless. Sometimes some of them start crying there. And the judge says, okay, after everything, see me in chamber, let's talk about it. You need counseling. You don't need divorce. You need counseling. Because many people started their marriage without counsel. There are many people. Especially when the lady is falling in love with the boy and is in the church. The boy now says that, hey, your marriage counseling in your church is 6 months. It's too long. Let's go. All the teachings Pastor Mavis has been giving, Ogoma follow. All of a sudden, we're looking for the sister in church. Where is the sister? Where is the, we can't find her. The next time we see her, you say, oh, Pastor, I'm married. Thank the Lord for me. You don't know what harm and danger you are doing to yourself. The generation before our generation, they didn't marry necessarily because of love. They married because marriage was an obligation for every woman to stay there, whether you like it or not. This one is different. This generation is different. There are professional counselors that they are recommended all over. They are lawyers. They counsel you. They tell you. And they will charge you serious money. The one you refuse to take for free in church normal teaching, you pay for it. Either by slap, by beating, by pushing, by killing. Death. Death. Some people, it is what? Death. Counsel. Are we here together? Love does not parade itself. Some of us, you need to check out the person that you are. You don't know people are proud sometimes, so it's because they are poor. Wait until they get small. They are not poor. They are not humble. They are proud. I know many of us are saying, yeah. You are thinking about the guys. You don't know the full capacity of a woman until she's richer than a man. The ladies are saying, Pastor, half, Pastor, just leave that one first. Let's talk about those things. Because what's destroying the marriage is lack of the fruit of the Spirit. And number one is what? Love. Love. That's number one. Is our money, is my money. Let's not go there today. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing very spiritual things. So let's be spiritual. So understanding love as the fruit of the Spirit. Love in the context of the fruit of the Spirit is not the shallow emotions our culture displays. It's not that shallow emotion. It is not mere affection or attraction that you have towards another person. No. It is a spiritual disposition that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is a state of heart that is given by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit empowers you to see a person in a particular way. And what way? The way God sees the person. You start loving people genuinely when you see them the way God sees them. When you see that person as a son of God, you see that person as a daughter of God, and you ask yourself, how would God have treated the son? How would God have treated the daughter? Then you start treating people the way God would have treated them. You now have learned how to word love. Am I making sense here? I want you to listen to me carefully, because sometimes some of us think that we love, but we don't know that we are selfish. You're selfish. You are considering yourself. Love, go and check it there. Love does not put itself first. Love puts the other first. And that's the reason why anytime people are in relationship, they say ladies first until they enter the marriage. Now say ladies back. Because go back to your position. Now here we are. I am not the head of me. Am I not the head? But you start to say ladies first. Make decisions without considering the children. And just say to hell. And after everything, after scattering the whole marriage, you say, you know, you now come back to children on call and say, you know, I love you. You don't. If you love them, you put them first before that quarrel, before that argument, before that fight. You consider their future. You consider how that many children will be disadvantaged by potential partners when they know that they came from homes where their parents are not together. You know, some people have vowed in their head that they will never marry from a place where the parents are not together. That's their own conclusion. So naturally, some parents have put their children on disadvantage mode because of their own selfish interests. And I want to advise you that that's not a good way to decide. Because somebody might come from a broken home, but is whole. Because somebody cannot listen to all the things I'm teaching and not be whole. You just have to be whole. You just have to be healed. You just have to find direction. You just have to come to that place where you know that I am not the mistake of two people that probably were confused. It's not an insult. I'm just speaking my heart. Because many times, people entered into what they didn't know. They don't know anything about, just to bring another generation to something that is not supposed to be. But you must rise and say, no, we will help you settle your issues, but I will not be at the middle. I'm not even the counselor. And those of you that usually stand behind mommy or stand behind daddy to settle quarrel, your problem has started. Because somebody will stand behind somebody on your own behalf too. You better know that you are called to love both of them the same way. One might be tough, one might be hard. But sometimes you don't know the root of their problem. They will tell you some, they will not tell you all. That's what I've learned about them. In all my counseling sessions, many times I've realized that the couples don't tell their children the full gist. They just know the things they should keep and hide. And some of them, people mistakenly push them into what they did not know. It was error. It was mistake. And I have seen God heal those who are ready to be healed. And I've also seen those who are very stubborn and they don't want healing. They are okay. But I'm praying for us today that as these teachings proceed from here, if there is any family, any home where love has been taken away, that God will restore it in the name of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Selflessness, sacrificial love, unconditional love. There are different kinds of love. You have the philia, you have the eros, and you have the agape love. The philia is normal friendship love. The eros is erotic love for relationship and romantic things. Then agape love is what we are talking about. And agape love has to be the foundation of every love. Many people start their love journey with eros. It's very wrong. You cannot start your love journey in a romantic plane. No, that's wrong. You can neither. Your love journey can start with philia. That's friendship. Then you eventually realize that we're just friends on the surface. Especially those who are not born again. But for every born again, your love foundation should have been what? Agape. I know you in Christ. You know me in Christ. If we know ourselves in Christ and we yield to the Spirit, we will not be in crisis permanently. There could be storms, but we always weather the storm and come out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say here now. Because we understand love. Sometimes you just realize that I think I am being selfish. That's why I'm acting like this. Then upon discussion, both parties agree and say no. Sometimes your normal friend too, and you just go, you are being selfish. If you love somebody, you will not let them do all the house chores. Sit down and just put your leg and throw the biscuit nylon on the floor and just say, if you understand now, you should consider me. I don't want to look that direction. Let me be here. Then Jesus said in John chapter 13 verse 35, I want to give time for questions, please, so let me rush this. John chapter 13 verse 35, he says, by this all will know that you are my disciple. How? If you have love one for another. This is how you get to know the disciples of Jesus Christ. They will love one another. If they don't love one another, he said that it's no proof that they are my disciples. Because my disciples must love themselves. My disciples must be sincere. Don't lie one to another. Don't defraud your brother. Is that what's in the Bible? Don't defraud your brother. Don't lie to your brother. Don't do something that you know that if you step out, it will harm your brother. No, you're supposed to be your brother's keeper. Watch after your brother. That's what love is about. And love in this context, working in the spirit, has to be practiced. Someone say practice. You will practice it because there will always be opportunities to practice love. Always there will be opportunities. One day Joseph was faced with the opportunity to practice love, whether he had love or hatred. After his brother betrayed him, after his brothers did all manner of things to him, and now Joseph comes face to face to his brothers after all the terrible experiences of his life. And the Bible says he was crying, he was shedding tears. The tears of Joseph that day, all the time he was shedding, you know, he couldn't stand there for a long time. He was shedding tears and saying, Kai, and I have opportunity to destroy these guys, but for the love of God in my heart, for the love of God, until he learned in his heart and he told them, he said, you meant it for evil. But God turned it around for good. And Joseph became a perfect example of somebody who forgives, even when he has been injured, battered, wounded. David is another example, opportunity to show love. Saul was the king, and Saul was doing all manner of things. Maltreated David, threw javelin at David, would have died. But somehow David saw Saul in his most vulnerable moment. Some of us would have pierced the person, no turning back. And there will be testimony in church. I want to thank God because I destroyed my enemy. My enemy have been destroyed. They've been trying to attack my life. God just did it. The enemy just slept. Ah, brothers and sisters, what do you think I should have done? Church member will say, ah, finish him. Say, yes, that's exactly what I did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Testimony. It was test so that you will know who you really are. But you turned it to testimony to show that you know how to finish people. David cut that stuff. Do you know that David even regretted cutting King Saul's garment? It was just because I needed something to prove that I should have killed this man. Then he stood up on the mountain and he said, sir! Saul said, he said, that looks like my clothes. He said, yes, sir. It's your clothes, sir. I had the opportunity to pierce you to death. Please, sir, forgive me. Don't attack me again. I'm sorry. And he said, David, my son. You need to see how Saul replied. He said, Kai, you are more righteous than I am. Kay. The next day, he said, I pursue him. You know that Satan is in his head already. That's it. He started pursuing him again to attack him, to destroy him. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? It shows that this other one understands love. This other one does not understand. Love is not optional for the Christian. It is the primary evidence that we are growing in Christ. If we are not expressing and manifesting love towards one another, then there is a doubt as to whether we are the disciples of Jesus. Because as a disciple of Jesus, you have to express love. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. One of the things you must understand first is to grow to love God. Your love journey starts with getting to love God. Jesus Christ called them that they might be with him first. If you love God, you will not stay on Instagram 4 hours in a day and struggle to pray for 10 minutes. Every time you try to pray, tongues dry. Every time you try to chat, your hands flow. We know where your love is. The love has to be shown. It will take a conscious effort to discipline yourself and say, I drop this thing. And let me submit to the one who gave me life, my God and my King. And pour your heart to him first and say, I love you forever. The first person you should gist with in the morning is the one you love. And God is the one. And that's how you show love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How does he find expression? Yeah, you first love God. You cannot love men if you don't love God. So you must start showing your love to God. How can we express our love to God? Please let the microphone go around. How can we express our love to God? How can we express our love to God? I want to be a little bit practical in today's teaching. What are the things that believers can do to show that they love God? How do you express your love to God?
Please, let's get the microphone. Let it go around. Those of us online, you can start typing in some of the things that you think we can do as believers to express our love for God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, God is love, and whosoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You cannot manufacture love if you have not encountered God. That's why when somebody tells you they love you, you ask them, do you know God? You can't love me if you don't know God. You can't. You don't know what love is because you have not met love. Love is not a thing. Love is a person. And until you meet that person, you will not be able to share love with other people. It is when you meet him that he displays love to you. It shows you what love is about. It helps you understand what love is about. And this is agape that I'm talking about. Somebody will say, oh, philia. Yes, there's a dimension of love because you love somebody as a friend and you can express. But you see, the sacrificial, unconditional love at its peak, the highest demonstration and practice of love is agape. And God is saying, I want you to love me. And that's why you see people, when they are given opportunity, will you die for Christ or denounce Christ? God is waiting for them to die. Do you know that whenever that kind of question is asked, God is expecting to see that he go die now, waiting. But many people turn their back. Many people say, I don't give myself. I never live my life in this. See, let me tell you, you know why I teach some of these kind of things in this church? We are getting to the end times where people will be disappointed. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. You see all these ones that they're doing? You will now realize that Christianity is not a call to convenience. It's just a matter of time. We are getting closer. The darkness will become darker. Then light will reveal itself well. Things are not going to get better in the world in case you are waiting for things to get better in the world. The Bible says it will get worse. He said, but those of us that know him, we shall shine. Our shining does not mean that there's no chaos, but we find joy in the midst of chaos. I want you to understand it so that when these things come, you will not be moved. Do you know how many believers that will turn their back on God at the end of the day when things get worse? The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will depart. They will depart. Because they were not properly taught. If they were well thought, they would know that it is sacrifice. Sacrifice. You are in Lagos. People who are in the north, ISIS, in some other Middle East country and other, they kill people practically for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. If you are brought today and a gun is in front of you and you are rako take it, leave the ketekete. I told you, leave it. Leave it. I didn't say you shouldn't speak in tongues, but I'm just saying that if you have all the tongues and prophecy but had no love, it profits you nothing. Love is sacrificial. Love can give itself. Love can die. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And he said, I have laid down my life for you. Then he said, you also ought to lay down your life for the brethren. Then you say you have church hearts and you love. You don't know what love is. If you know, nobody will be able to hurt you in church. Nobody will be able to. You will wake up and say, these ones cannot hurt me. I know who I am. If you know, you will not allow anything happen and you get discouraged and say, I'm not serving God. I'm angry. I'm bitter. Who are you quarreling with? Is it God or men? Love. Because if we love him genuinely, we can take anything for him, for his sake. If you cannot take a blow, you cannot take an insult. You cannot take an insult in church for God's sake. Is it gone that you will take and die? Test your love. This is my message. I don't even know. Everybody's just looking at me and say, this is a 1970 something pastor they preach. I'm preaching 2025. And it can still be preached, and will still be preached if Christ tarries 2026. And if he does not tarry and he comes, his lovers will see him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Get to understand it. Love. That's what love is about. To cultivate love, you must first abide in God's love. You abide in the love of God by building intimacy in prayer. Have I said that? Meditation in the word of God. Obeying the word of God. You can't obey the word of God, you say you love God. But the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Prayer is a struggle and you say you love God. Hey, how come? How? Prayer
Prayer is a struggle. You have to build it and stay until it becomes something you begin to love. I'm not saying that there are no times where you just feel somehow, but I'm saying that intentionally in your heart of hearts, you know that you love God and you really want to have time with Him. Are we here together? Every other thing has taken the place for many people in their heart, and God is just far away. So you need to ask yourself, how am I showing love to God? As a branch cannot bear fruit apart from itself, John chapter 15 verse 14, it says you cannot bear fruit of love apart from me. You can't. You can't love if you don't know God. If you are a branch that flows from the vine called love. If you are disconnected from the love vine, you don't know love. You can't know love. You will not be able to love. It's only when you are connected to that tree, you are there, then love will be flowing through you. That's why it says, abide in me and let my love abide in you. If it abides in you, she will know how to love. I will show her in this church. I will show him in this church. In this office, you will know who you are. We will know. Don't worry. And you say you love. Are we here together? Am I making sense? Yes. How many of us, if a branch, let me use that example, if a branch is disconnected from a tree and you are forcing it to grow, can it grow? You disconnect the branch from the tree and you say, grow, grow, shakapa yabaraba, grow. Grow. It will never grow. The reason many people are not growing in love, they are disconnected from Him. They are not connected in prayer. They are not connected in the Word. They are not connected in obedience. And you are telling them to love. How would they love? No, you cannot love if you don't know the Word of God. You cannot love if you are not in the place of prayer. You cannot love if you are not living in obedience. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? And these are the things that the Holy Spirit does on your inside so that He will manifest the fullness of God on the outside. When people now see you, they'll say, these are the disciples of Jesus. How did they know disciples of Jesus? They were willing to give their lives. Those guys will come out and they say, kill us now. Stephen, forgive them for they know not what they do. They say, okay, my people are Israel. Why are they like, what are they dying for? What are they dying for? They are dying for the one they love. Many people cannot take anything. I've even seen girls that are able to take belts for their lover. Take slap. Take serious beating and they will still be there. He's teaching me how to love. There's version of love. How can somebody love you and there will be no rift? Until you become a riffraff.
But you see, they are taking that in the name of love. But many Christians can't take anything for Jesus. They can't. They can't. Paul, the apostle, said 40. They wanted to give me 40 and they hit me 39. Amen. It was a serious one. I counted it all but done. For the excellency of Christ, my love, my God, the one whom I have chosen to give all myself to. Love. Love. When you really grow in love, your root will be in God. Number two, if you love, part of the ways we get to know you love is that you will love yourself. Many people don't love themselves. They don't. You see, they don't love themselves. If they love themselves, you will consider the consequences of your action before taking the action. You do something that will give you heartache. You do something that will cause you a life of trouble. You do something that will put you in pain. You don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you will walk away from anything that can lead to heartache, regret of all your life, generational pain, and they'll say, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Why? So how do you show that you love? You love God first, then you learn to love yourself. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Am I communicating? God works it from your inside and He wants you to love yourself. Because if you truly love yourself, you will not allow yourself to struggle with that guilt and shame and pain. You will come out of it. You will come out of it. You will come out of it. How many things have people done that obviously proves that they don't love themselves? Decisions that they have made. Terrible decisions. Self-destructive decisions. They harm themselves. They hurt themselves. You are telling the person, this thing is going to be harmful. God saying, no. You have done your own. Let me do my own. Makes sense. Doesn't make sense. Do you love yourself? How many of us here, you think you genuinely love yourself? Are you sure? You really love yourself? One of the ways to prove that you love yourself is to do what God says. If you do what God says, you love yourself. The people in the world think they love themselves. One of the best decisions you can make if you love yourself is to receive Jesus so that you don't perish eternally in hell. I'm telling you, hell is not a place to be. One of the best decisions you'll make if you really love yourself is to save yourself the heartache of unforgiveness. Let go. Because you are the one that will struggle with pain, struggle with bitterness, struggle with headache. You say, if the headache is doing me at the back of my hypothalamus. No. Inu cerebra oblongata, medulla oblongata. Why would you allow headache enter your medulla oblongata when you can actually let go and be fine? You don't really love yourself. If you are not forgiving others, you don't love yourself. Because you love yourself, you will release yourself. Every time you forgive, you are releasing yourself. Is anybody benefiting from what I'm teaching tonight? Then God will give you opportunities, daily opportunities to choose to love others. Love grows when we practice it intentionally. That's how to cultivate love. You must cultivate love. Love can be cultivated. That's how God begins to work on your inside, especially in difficult situations. The Spirit of God will use our daily relationships with people to train us on how to love. Someone offends you and you choose to forgive instead of resentment and bitterness and malice and all that. Let go. That means you love. As a Christian, that's what love is about. Are we getting what I'm saying here? Somebody does something to you and they step on your toe or something. He said, yeah, I will not step on your toe. I will step on your destiny. Listen, that's not love. That's not love. If you really love other people, you will do things that will be beneficial for their own good. Am I making sense here? You consider and say, will this thing hurt this person? Will it help this person? If I really love this person, I will not treat them that way. When you intercede for those who hurt you, you are really showing that you love. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to them that hate you. I know some church folks don't like to hear this at all. And I know that there are times where we pray warfare prayers and we say every enemy. When I was saying enemy, most of the times we are talking about the spirit that is causing the person to do that thing. Every enemy is that spirit that is causing the person to be strong enough to attack my life. You understand? We are not really saying that our plan and purpose is that, you know, we'll just kill all human beings everywhere. Because, of course, people have divergent views about that. You understand? I also have my reservations to an extent. Do you get what I'm saying now? I have my reservations to an extent. And the extent that I have my reservation is this. Because sometimes you're thinking, if I say I love this person, and this person is about to cut off my neck from the back, will I not do self-defense? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the kind of reservation that comes to my head, that if I know that this person wants to kill me, I should do everything to stop the person from killing me. Not that I'll allow the person to kill me and come and testify in church and say, I'm part of this, that kid, brother Mavis, so God forgive you. Oh, granny, make me hold your hand first. Are we getting what I'm saying here? Yeah, I have that understanding that if you are conscious and you know that this is what this person is planning, you should be able to stand your ground and stop that onslaught of Satan. Because if you allow that person to yield to Satan and they kill you, they can testify tomorrow. That's my own understanding in that aspect. But does it mean that I hate the person? I don't hate the person. I'm praying for the person to change. I'm praying for the person's life to get better and serve God and know God. But there are some people that will just not know God. So sometimes when I pray, I say, God, any person that will never know you in this life, that has no opportunity of salvation, that is disturbing the growth of this church, is it not good to take them on time like this? I don't know. Because they don't have opportunity for God knows all the elect and all those that will come to him. And this one that is disturbing our life is not going to be elect. May you unelect him first and let's move on. So it's not like I hate the person, but I'm just saying that you are not part of the eternal purpose of God. Just go and let the church advance, I beg. Or because I don't even know which one falls into that category, that becomes another issue, is that not? But the prayer is always, God, you who know all things, in your goodwill, in your good sense of judgment, may you take over this battle and do it the way you know is right. And I'm sure it will never be unjust. It's never unjust. But somebody will ask me that question in that area very soon, so I'm trying to help myself. Are we here together? So you must understand, the expression of love, giving, sacrifice, real love always costs you something. It costs you time, costs you effort, costs you your comfort, your ego, your resources. Jesus showed love, and you also have to show love. Whether it is forgiveness, attention, or material help, we must show love. Next week, I'm going to continue. There are other things I want to say here, but time will not permit us to go into everything. But let me mention this as I wrap up. In the context of marriage, love goes beyond romance and emotions. It becomes a daily decision empowered by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches spouse to love not only when it is easy, but especially when it is not convenient. So love, the Bible says love is patient and love is kind. It does not insist on its own ways. Now the thing we will go do here is, if not this, we perish. Does not insist. Love is open enough for negotiation, for dialogue, for talk of how it will be for the best interest of everybody. That's what it means to have a loving mother, a loving father. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here right now? It's open for negotiation. When you serve your spouse, even when you are tired, you love them. You are tired, but you have to go to the kitchen and prepare something for your husband. Is that not love? You feel like you are so tired and everything as a man, but you have to wake up in the morning, go to work, and provide for your family. That's love. I'm not going to keep myself. I beg, let everybody stay. Everybody stay hungry. Then your neighbor is feeding you. And you say, I love my family. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. When you speak gently instead of lashing out on your partner, that's love. For those in relationship, before marriage, love must be guided by purity and patience. The Spirit will teach you to love someone in a way that protects their destiny. You say you love me, at the end of the day, you do something to me, they remove my womb. Is that love? Love. That's not love. You love me and you do something, I am traumatized for life. Trauma, serious trauma, that's not love. True love says, I want God's best for you and not my own. I don't want to just satisfy my flesh. I am considering God's best for you. I am considering you. Having decided to follow the path of righteousness, I will partner with you in righteousness. That's how to show that I love you. Any person who is not loving you this way does not love you. The person who loves you so much that they care about your well-being, they care about your mental health, at least that you will not, they will not do something that will throw you off balance. That's love. When you love each other, one of the things, signs that you show in love is that you will respect the boundaries of each other. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I respect your boundaries. I expect the fact that you don't want this and I will not do that. By the time you begin to pressure somebody to do what they don't want, you claim to love them, you should be bold enough to tell that person, you don't love me. You want to express the lust of your flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? Am I preaching good? Then when you love other people in your community, you listen to them. You forgive them. If you love people, you will not gossip. I've told you about gossip in this church, it destroys. I've told us about spreading rubbish, it destroys. Don't talk about other people in a way that demeans them, in a way that destroys their character. in a way that will mess up the, who they are and what they represent. It is wickedness. It is evil. If you really love people, you will not talk ill of them. If you really love people, you will seek for their best interest. So today, God wants to work in us true and sincere, genuine love. The Holy Spirit wants you to learn when you are feeling like you will rant and he says, calm down. That's love. Patience. When you feel like, I say, no, be kind. That's love. When you feel like I'm going to satisfy my flesh and he says, go to the direction of the Spirit. That's love. That you are able to control yourself, self-control. That's love. That you're able to make peace instead of fighting and say, we'll fight it to the end, we scatter the whole world. That's love. Against such, there is no law. But those of us who are Christians are always thinking and asking yourself about what love is. This is love in its simplest form. In its simplest form. Very simple. It's not that hard. You love me. I am hungry. You hide your food. You see all the food is here. When my father died, the most important, what made me cry when he passed on was the sacrifice of a man. How a man will sacrifice himself and do everything to take care of his family. And at the point where you are thinking that it is time to see whether you can show some love and care to your parents, they are gone. That was my own crying. The real cry was not that, I'm emotional, but not the regular. I'm a very emotional person, yes, I know that, but not that type. But when I was crying because I remember. I sound very emotional. You guys don't believe? You don't believe? My wife knows I'm very emotional. Yes, I'm very emotional. And I'm also very shy. I can be very shy. Just, it's because when this is here, this is power. This is power. After this, I don't like front. I just like to be somewhere, do my own things. So, the sacrifice that women make taking care of their children, that's love. The sacrifice that we make when we go all out to preach the gospel to people who insult us, that's love. The proof that we love them is that we will not watch them go to hell. We are going all out. We want to save them. And the Bible says this kind of love is birthed by the Spirit. You will not use curse words on people if you love them. You will not. Because you will not want to curse God's creation if you really love them. And I pray that as you have heard these words today, many of us that are holding grudges, bitterness, anger, malice, you have gossiped all the people in your circle. May God have mercy. May God show us the higher way of love. And many of us that have allowed people to take advantage of us in the name of love, they are claiming, I love you. I love you. You are taking something from me and giving me money. You say it's love. That's not love. You are defrauding one another. You are cheating yourself. It's exchange. That's what it is. I love my wife so much in relationship. I promise myself there are things I will not do, not to demean her, because she has said that that's how she wants to be before she gets married. And I say, I'll wait. Hard. Oh, hard gone. But when I look at the face of the woman, I see the daughter of Zion who wants to please God. And I tell my flesh, sleep. 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 My flesh will say, sleep? Why? Sleep. Sleep. Don't put us in trouble. May our erection not determine our direction. Rise up on your feet and let us pray tonight. I want you to pray and say, God, help me to love. A heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm longing for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong with it. Please help me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. Please help me, Lord. Please help me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours.
One more time.
A heart like yours.
A heart like yours.
It's my desire.
My desire.
A heart like yours. It's what I'm longing for. Full of compassion. Nothing wrong, nothing wrong with it. Please help me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. So please help me, Lord.
I want you to pray and say, God, help me to love genuinely. Help me to love genuinely. You are not mature if you take offense easily. Everything, you just take offense. You are not mature spiritually. It doesn't matter your position or your title. If you want to fight in the street, you are not mature. Mature Christians understand love. Even when you are angry to the point where sometimes, but the Holy Spirit just draws your attention and you just turn. That's it. That's maturity. That's maturity. I want you to pray and say, God, help me. Help me cultivate love. Help me practice love. Help me practice love. And as you are speaking right now, God will give you opportunity to practice love tomorrow. Somebody will offend you. Yes, there will be opportunity to practice it. Temptation will come. By the time you leave here, you get home tomorrow, your workplace, people will offend you. People will do terrible things. Your flesh will begin to arouse itself. The day you decide that you want to show your love for God, all manner of things will begin to show up. But the way to prove your love is to sacrifice your cravings, sacrifice your ego, sacrifice your pride, and say no. I would have reacted, but no. For love. For love. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here in this service tonight and you have not met love, you have not met love. You have not met love. If you have not met Jesus, you have not known love. You might have met church, but have you met love? Do you want to meet love today? Can you quietly raise your hand so that I can pray with you? I want to pray with you. Can you quietly raise your hand? I want to pray with you. You want to meet love. You want to meet love. Say, Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. If that's your confession, you want to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, quietly raise your hand. I want you to say these prayers after me, wherever you are. Do it sincerely. That's the starting point of everything. Can you say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.